Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Live from the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio,
Chicago's new home of the White Sox.
ESPN 1000, WMVP Chicago.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, so we hit a lot of television shows and what to watch for. Let me give you the schedule here on what's going on this weekend. Nothing will match last weekend. In retrospect, will you say, Waddle, that that was a home run last weekend?
I enjoyed it.
In your first experience of 3-3?
I enjoyed it, but like listen, this is an argument that like you can continue to hit me over the head with the 3-3. I told you when they expanded, I'm not going to rage against it, but I still prefer you don't dilute my playoffs. Why does everyone need to try to come after me and tell me, well, look at it. That was fun. I'm not saying you in general. I'm saying everybody in general.
I used to tell you all the time, and I used to always surprise you, because you always thought that the NFC-AFC championship game Sunday was the best day. I used to tell you that this weekend is the best, because I get the best in most games. I get two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday, and they're usually better games than the first wild card weekend. But what happened last week is I got three games on Saturday and three games on Sunday, and all of a sudden that became my favorite weekend of football.
I get it. I mean, having football all day Saturday and all day Sunday, I'm not going to rage against it. But, I mean, like, I could have given you a matchup of other teams that could have played, and you probably would have found the same competitive nature that existed in the Colts and Bills game. How great was that Bears and Saints game? I mean, like,
most of the games were good, though.
Yeah,
I mean, it was 27-24.
You're right. And
30-20.
I can give you a potential matchup of two teams that didn't make it into the postseason that probably would have been a good game. Hey, if you would have seen the Arizona Cardinals and the Miami Dolphins squaring off on Saturday at 12, you would have probably said, all right, great. Those teams weren't in it. I mean, where do we stop?
The only good thing, though, about I understand what you're saying, that you're allowing two teams in that wouldn't normally get in. But what you're doing, too, in that first weekend of football, you're seeing two better teams play that weekend. Because normally the Saints wouldn't play in that first weekend. They were the number two seed. They would have a bye. And normally the Bills would not have played last weekend because they would have had a bye.
Okay, in most instances, there's only one team in those games that is good. So you have one good team playing one really bad team. In most instances.
We're one for one, so.
Right. I mean, listen, again, like I said, I'm not going to rage against it. You know I love football. I'm just telling you, if you gave me a choice, if I was the commissioner, you all wouldn't be getting that third game on Saturday and that third game on Sunday.
Stick it. let me ask you this before we get into
it. Let them all play! Trophies for everybody!
Here's what you get this weekend. The first game you get is Rams-Packers. That's 3:35 tomorrow. So they start a little later. 3:35 tomorrow. 7:15 tomorrow, Bills-Ravens. First game on Fox, second game on NBC. Sunday, Bills-Chiefs. That's at a 2:05 kick.
Yeah.
And then Bucks-Saints is 5:40 kick.
Early for the older quarterbacks.
Yes, good call.
It's not prime time, so it's like just right. The early bird special, 5:40, when usually the old people sit down when you can go out to dinner.
Do you realize that the Saints have boat raced the Bucs in both games? But, like, you saw Drew Brees. Like, Drew Brees' arm is barely attached. He cannot push the ball downfield, and yet...
We're both on the same thing with we like, and we'll do our picks coming up here at 5:15. But here's my question about the Packers.
Okay, let's hear it.
And that's the first game we could talk about that specifically. I want to know from Bears fans, and call me with your wrap-up calls from this week, because it was a busy week. There were lots of stuff. It was tough to get through. So if you had leftover Bears thoughts from the entire week, 3-3-2, 3-7-7-6, you know how much George hates the Packers. George said yesterday, go Rams. He wants the Packers to lose. That's a win for him, even though his team was awful, lost six games in a row, and had no chance against the Saints. He's still all in, rooting against the Packers. Would it put more pressure on the Bears if the Packers won the Super Bowl?
No.
Back in 2005, 2006, as a Cubs fan, the Cubs were coming off of one of my least favorite seasons in 04, when they were unlikable, they were supposed to win, and they were absolutely brutal. They choked down the stretch. 05, they got even worse. 06, I told you that was the year that I boycotted. It coincided when the Sox were good. I always said to Carmen and everyone else that as a Cubs fan, I was happy the Sox were winning in that town because it sent more of a message to the Tribune Company at that time, who owned the team, that you better get your team better because they're stealing fans in town here.
You don't need to keep hitting that horse. That horse has expired a long time ago.
Which like one? The Packers one?
Yeah. Like I don't need to see the Packers hoisting the trophy to further advance the concept that we're not close to them. We know that.
Well, Waddle, you asked George McCaskey yesterday, do the Packers' losses sting more? And he said, yes, absolutely. But apparently they didn't sting,
they
enough,
sting enough,
losing by a 35-point margin this year, like 75 to 40-something this year. That didn't matter, though, because, whatever, just bring them back.
What'd that damn seventh seed do for us, too, other than bolster their opinions of themselves up at Hallis Hall? Maybe you would have gotten that change, Sylvie, if the commissioner hadn't added a seventh seed. Maybe without a playoff appearance in 2020, the Bears would have been inspired to make that change we all know that they need to make. But no, because the commissioner wanted more playoff football. You got a team that was 8-8 and got in, and they can put that on their banner and wave that around up at the facility. 2020 playoff participant.
I thought it was an interesting question about if the Packers, but I asked the question not because I'm on board with that, because I agree with you that if you go, what is it, like 3-3? Well, they've lost 9 out of 10 to the Packers.
It's like, isn't it like 3-18 or 3-18
in
like that.
The last craziness.
It's awful.
Like, if you don't get a message then that, hey, we better be better inside our organization and do a top to bottom scrub and look under every rock as to why we're not nearly as good as the Packers, then the Packers winning these next few weeks won't add.
Let me ask you a question. Where were the Packers last year?
They were in the NFC Championship game.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what did it incite?
Nothing.
Okay, so they get one more level.
It's status quo. I know. I asked that question with that opinion.
Yeah. No, I know.
I want to know if anyone else feels differently. Like, you want to stick it to George even more. That, okay, George, now you just don't get it. I hope the Packers do run home with the trophy then. And you can watch that as much as you hate them. I don't know what it's going to take. And that's why I used to use the phrase, not literally smacked in the face. I needed George to get smacked in the face with badness. And I thought the Lions loss was going to do that. I thought the sixth and final loss of that losing streak would do to George what needed to be done to just show him. But then that three-game winning streak.
Do you remember the conversations we were having after that Packers game? And everyone was dejected, and it was awful. But then we all kind of looked at each other and go, oh, no, look at this schedule. Look what's going to possibly happen. Then they lost to the Lions, and we're like, okay. I mean, it's still going in that direction, so it's still going to change.
Then it happened like you were predicting.
And then you look at me, you go, like, just be careful. Be careful pushing all your chips into it's all going to be changed at the end of the year.
I know,
because crazy things happen in this league.
Speaking I gave George of, too much credit.
Speaking of schedule, credit. Did you guys see that the opponents for next season, they're out? So we know who the Bears will play at home and road.
Yeah,
we don't know.
They've been out. They've been out the last couple of weeks. We don't know the dates yet, but it's a on paper, it always changes. It's a tough schedule.
Yeah. On paper, the away opponents, you're playing six games against
Tampa,
playoff teams on the road. Road games,
the Rams,
Browns, Steelers, Buccaneers, Rams, Seahawks, Lions, Vikings, Packers.
And you're right. It changes. Like, what seems to be a really difficult schedule when the season kicks off with injuries to other teams and other stuff. But you're right. Like, 2020,
that's a tough schedule.
It looks like, from my seat right now, and a lot can change. But aren't you prepared for, like, there's a thought going through my mind when you factor that in and their lack of salary cap flexibility and where they're drafting. You're just like, it'll be a miracle for them to be a team that shows significant and tangible improvement next year.
The home opponents, Cardinals, Ravens, Giants, 49ers, Bengals, Lions, Vikings, Packers.
Wow.
I mean, it sounds like a really rough schedule.
And that 49ers game normally is one of those that you look at, well, they weren't that good this year. With their front office and coaching, that could be a team that flips it.
Wait, next year
they're good.
Like, that's going to be a really fun team to watch in the offseason. Because, like you said earlier, we started the show today talking about the possibility that Jimmy Garoppolo could be open for other teams to sign. Think about what the 49ers could do possibly if they let Jimmy go. Maybe they pull off a trade for Matt Ryan, who is very familiar with Kyle Shanahan. Maybe they pull off a trade for Matthew Stafford. Maybe they pull off a trade for one of these veteran quarterbacks who just needs to be placed in the right situation. Like, I would have more faith if I was a 49er fan than if I was a Bears fan, wouldn't you?
Oh, of course, especially the people running it. 332-3776. A lot of people want to talk. Tim in Portland, I know you've been very patient. We're going to get to you. A lot of people waiting in line to talk. Would you root for the Packers if you knew it stuck it to George, or have we already killed that horse? Like, it's a dead horse, like Waddle said. We have more playoff preview, our picks coming up, and like it, love it. Stay tuned. All your calls coming up.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, wrapping up a very eventful week for the Bears. With a George interviewing with us yesterday, if you missed that interview, make sure you download that ESPN Chicago app.
I will say this. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. We ask for a lot of guys up there. George always picks up the phone for us at least once a year.
Yeah.
And we do appreciate that. We talk to him more than we talk to the general manager or the coach.
Right. And it's sort of like Ryan and Matt. They're nice guys, but I don't want them in their roles for my favorite football team. And now I feel the same about George. I do. I mean,
yeah,
nice guy, and I'm glad he picks up the phone. But I am more down on him today than I have ever been since he's taken over the Bears, since he's run that team after he came out of the ticket office.
We can do both. We can feel that way, but also acknowledge that he does pick up the phone for us. Not everybody does.
Tim in Portland, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tim?
Well, hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Not too much. I just wanted to give a little bit of hope for the Bears fans for next season. I know there's a lot of dread going on right now.
All right. Tim, you want Chris to read you their schedule next year? No.
No.
Let's not do that. Okay.
No. And I just want to say, I was definitely fine with Nagy, Pace, CEO of Accounting Phillips being fired. But now that we know that's not going to happen, I think it's important to take a look at the one positive Nagy's had with him, especially given the limited resources and offense that he's been given. I'm a big believer in you get what you invest in. Nagy hasn't even got to see a first-round pick spent on offense since he's gotten here. And our last two first-round picks before him on offense were Trubisky and White. If you look at the offensive pieces we have chosen since Nagy retired in 2018 and how they performed versus what he inherited, it's a huge difference. We're not talking Marcus Wheaton, Eddie Royal. We're talking Allen Robinson. We're talking Jimmy Graham. I laughed and hated the Jimmy Graham pick, but we gave him money, and Nagy got something out of it.
Mooney is another good example of that.
Well, I mean, you can look at each year. 2018, he got two first-round draft picks. He got Daniels and Miller. And again, Miller could be better, but
is this you, George, did you call back? Is this you, George?
I hate defending this too because everything's been awful. But I'm trying to give that slight, little glimmer of hope.
Listen, Tim. Do you want? I'll put my arm around you and whisper David Montgomery into your ear.
Sure, because that was the earliest pick we had last year. I mean, fifth leading rusher. All I'm saying is that even, you know, Patterson, maybe he had too big of a role, but he's been a two-time All-Pro
return
and an offensive weapon. But I'm not just highlighting. Even Mike Davis, you know, we cut him and he did great in the Panthers. I understand that that might look bad, but he was our third running back that we had. I mean, if we look at the resource allocation spent on defense versus offense and really break down, do you guys think Nagy wanted $20 million on Quinn last year or $20 million on A-Rob? I mean, we keep on spending on the defense, and of course that's what's carrying us.
Tim, let me counter, though, and I appreciate your phone call and your patience.
Of course. Thank you.
So all those guys, like you mentioned, Cole Kmet, why did it take so long for Nagy to implement him? David Montgomery, it turns out that he's okay. Why did it take him so long to use him and to implement him? Like, the own guys that he could be behind, Mike Davis, like, was he behind? Did he like the Mike Davis signing and then all of a sudden didn't use him? There are a bunch of guys that he has had here that he has either misused or coached up poorly.
Why did they ignore the offensive tackle position? Like, I think Matt has had as much say. I said that from day one. I thought Matt was going to be an asset for Ryan with regard to evaluating the free agent offensive talent to implement in his offense. And, like, I think Tim makes some decent points, but they still have underachieved. When your offense is ranked 21st, 29th, and 26th, I mean, we can only point the finger at Mitch for so much.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and he deserves to carry some of this burden. But, like, you know what they're going to do from now until next season.
Being in the 20s offense year in and year out is way, way, way more than just Mitch.
This is going to be look at Mitch did this, Mitch did that, Mitch did this. And, again, you know we haven't been his biggest supporters. But don't let anybody tell you it was all him.
Tony in Libertyville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tony?
Oh, I got a couple of points. First of all, thanks for taking my call. What would you consider the last really good coach the Bears had?
Lovey drove me crazy at times, but his record tells me that he was a really good coach.
Lovey had success in the NFL. Lovey was a good coach in the league.
Okay. Before Lovey.
Ditka, probably.
Ditka, okay. Who hired Ditka?
George Halas.
George Halas. Since Halas died, the Bears have only hired one decent coach, which you say is Lovey, and that's debatable, but I'll give it to you. Since Halas died, they've had one good coach and one good general manager, which was also hired by, I'm sorry, they had one good general manager, and he was hired by Halas also. I think his name was Jerry Vanisi.
Okay.
Is that the general manager when Ditka was around?
Yes.
Yeah, Finks was here before Ditka, right?
Right.
And then Jerry was the GM that Ditka hired.
Okay. Ditka hired Vanisi?
I think he was hired when Ditka was here.
Right. But it was by Halas. Or was it after all? Well, all right, either way. The other thing is, despite all the smoke that they were blowing, one other point. I believe that Nagy made the comment earlier in the season in one of his press conferences that him and Pace and the president of football operations met every week to discuss what was going on. So despite the comments the past couple of days that he's not involved in football operations and that he is and that he isn't, they keep waffling on that because they get caught in their own lies.
Yeah. Tony, thank you. I appreciate the phone call. Look, I get what you're trying to say. You're trying to say that this isn't a football family anymore. It was a football family when it was owned by a Halas, but as soon as it was inherited by the McCaskies, whether it was Michael McCaskey before him and now George, they're doing the same stuff, and you don't believe in ownership, and I'm riding in the sidecar right now in 2021 next year.
I say, with the benefit of looking at his entire body of work, Lovie Smith was a good coach for this team.
Right.
He helped take this team to the Super Bowl. They went to the postseason three times. Was the team as consistently successful as you want? No, but
He had an identity, at least. He wanted to get off the bus running.
Yes, he was
a good
coach.
He knew he was going to take the football away.
Yes, he had a
Lovie,
good...
He wanted to beat the Packers. He did. There were a lot of good things about Lovie Smith.
Lovie was
a
good coach here.
And he won games. Yeah,
I would say the best aspect of the Lovie Smith regime was the fact that when they were counted out, they actually played their best football. So when you thought that the Bears had no chance to win a game... Boom, the players played for Lovie and they won a game you didn't expect.
Yeah, they that's played for they had, played they loved him too.
Yeah, that's something that hasn't happened as of late.
Yeah, Randy's in Seattle. Hey Randy, you're on ESPN 1000.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. You guys have been cracking me up the last couple of days. So listen, I didn't think things could get worse than they were after that Bears press conference yesterday. And then George comes on your show and like, wow. He just blew it away that way. So, you guys did the greatest thing today. You need to play that Bears Management Sleigh Ride song at the start of every show until we get past this. Because I thought it was the greatest chuckle I've had, and I thought it was the greatest song ever. So, I did want to comment. Last week, you had Dan Durkin on.
Yes.
I thought he was a tremendous interview for you guys.
Yeah, he does a nice,
hadn't heard much before. He was great.
Yeah.
And the last thing I wanted to say, I mean, this is a second-rate organization run by a third-rate knucklehead, and there are three I's that apply to Bears management: ineptitude, incompetence, and incontinence, because they keep peeing down their legs even though they don't intend to.
Yeah, but that means it stops, right? Incontinence means it stops, right? Like you, it doesn't, it's not a pure full stream, isn't that right? I mean, if you have incontinence, it means you can't maintain a stream, right? Am I right? Like, I should know this. I'm the one turning 54 next month. Like, I got up twice this morning. I got up at like 3 and 5 to take a whiz.
It says a lack of voluntary control over urination or number two.
Okay, so that means you can't control it.
Yeah,
okay.
I think he's right. I give the benefit of the doubt to Randy.
All right, there you go, Randy.
If I could offer, by way of analogy, your broadcast partner, Tom Waddle, when he got into the profession he's in now, I think he would be the first to tell you he struggled.
Uh-oh, George, I think your mom is here.
You're out of line, George.
I think I don't agree with Randy. I don't think you can play. I think you have to save that song for when you're feeling your lowest. You can't just, like, if you're having, I had a little bit of a bad afternoon play, you got to wait for that. You have to wait till you're really in a valley, and then you hit the go button on
you
that.
Guys, it was a complete home run this year. That
home
song
run,
is just
grand slam.
Unbelievable. Oh, it is. But I mean,
what, George, I think your mom is here.
Boys, you can't take a ride.
Ted, don't forget your car seat. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Ron.
I mean, it's just incredible.
It is. It's fantastic.
Should
I'm
we
just
listen
saying,
to it next?
Yes, but yes, I'm just saying, like,
because
Roger
it's so
or Randy
true.
Or whatever his
it
name
is.
Was, suggesting that you start the show and you end the show every day with it. I think then you get tired of it. It's like a top 40 hit.
I don't know.
You keep playing the top 40 hit, though, until it's not a hit. And I think what Chris said, in December, it was true. It was very true and very funny. But after that press conference, when you saw the four guys who are in the sleigh ride with Virginia, you could visualize all of it with Ted with that stupid headphone with the gamer.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
Stop, it looks like he's working at a drive-thru at Wendy's.
Come on, why are you doing this? It's Friday.
We're going to hear that song next. We're going to make our picks and like it, love it, whether you like it or not. It's all coming up.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games?
Stop.
No.
It.
Everything else is there.
I need that on a shirt. I need it on a shirt.
It really just says everything else is there.
William Eggert says, could Bears Management Sleigh Ride win the Holiday Parody Song Contest in back-to-back years? Or maybe Trey Tunes does a remix next year. Good from William. All right, here it is. This is, again, just... This one in December, we know we're past the holidays, But now, picture what you just saw on what day was that? Was that Tuesday
Wednesday.
Or Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Wednesday, 2 days ago. It feels like it was forever ago. That press conference with the four of them all sitting there going on a sleigh ride with Virginia.
Uh-oh, George. I think your mom is here.
Boys, let's take a ride.
Ted, don't forget your car seat. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Ryan.
Let's go for a sleigh ride. Bears Management sleigh ride. I'm here with losers and boozers that have burned down this franchise.
Matt, keep the sleigh straight now.
Ted, I'm not an idiot.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting-tingling, too. I'm here with my dumb son, two ding-a-lings and a big boob. Outside, our fans are brawling and friends are calling, screw you. We're snuggled up together while the team is piddled down into their shoes. Take it, Ryan.
Trading up, trading up, trading up, no shame. Our strategy is lame. Grab a coffee, find a way to win a football game. Pick 'em up, pick 'em up, pick 'em up, D-line. Robert Quinn is my guy. My moves are great, and I know it because they work for my Madden franchise.
Coach Nagy's steering us down the beautiful, magnificent mile.
I'm driving Santa's sleigh, but I haven't run that play in a while.
I'm cuddled up with Teddy. He's a clueless, sweaty old fool.
I'm not old.
Try some of my prune juice. It's warm, and it softens my stool.
Oh, Mom, lay off. He's trying. He's smart. He's a numbers guy.
Sweet George, just look at him. He's spelling boobs on his TI-85.
Boobs. Very funny, Ted.
Well, I heard a man named Sylvie on the radio. They invented those when I was only 8 years old. From what I can make out, he's mad. Green Bay's the hammer and we're the nail. Are you listening, boys? They're saying we've all failed. So I'm just a sweet old lady with a useless team. I should just give up and pawn them off on Sister Jean. And I miss those days of foxy Star Wars nerd and lovey teams.
Rex is our quarterback.
A team that's selfish and undisciplined.
Carlos Santos.
We've got Coach Nagy, but he's steering us towards the beam.
George, you're a class A clown. Can't believe that you're in my bloodline. You look like skinny Colonel Sanders or a wannabe Monopoly guy. So here's to 10 more years of wasting everyone's time. We'll say things like Super Bowl Shuffle.
Defense wins championship.
Monsters of the Midway.
Blue collar football team.
Charter franchise.
Dude, you missed the last line. I know I missed the line. I'm not an idiot.
Oh, boy.
Oh, so many good lines in there. It gets better every time. The John Fox, Carlos Santos gets me every time.
It does.
And so does the wannabe Monopoly guy.
Again, you would have had Deshaun Watson possibly if you would have collaborated with your staff prior to.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Anyway.
Yeah. You want to do Like It, Love It right now, boys?
Sure.
Let's get to it.
I like it. I love it.
I like it.
Just a little taste of it.
I love it. I want some more of it.
I believe we have a new person in the basement, don't we?
What? What?
There's someone new in the basement.
Well, you don't put the lotion in the basket.
You done been in the basement. We just have someone who finally figured out how to get out of the well.
I was in third. I wasn't in the basement.
Yeah, you guys were basically in the basement together. You were like a point up. Let's see. Yeah, you were 1 point ahead of him with 39 points. But Chris,
one was in the box. One was in the box. One was in the well.
Yeah. 3-0 last week, picking games. Waddle's in the lead with 51. He's 24-19-5. I am 24-24 with 48 points. Chris has 44 points. How about that?
Didn't you say he was the only one that had any?
No, I had the Alabama game.
Oh, you did. Yeah. Okay.
But he went 3-0. Let's not. Chris went 3-0.
First then?
No, you still go first because you're still in the lead. Bleck has 44. He's 21-27. And Sylvie has 39.
Woo,
20-27-1 on the year.
How many points am I ahead of you?
3.
Ooh, wow. So this is still up for grabs.
It is.
What's Waddle's total now?
Waddle has 51. I have 48. Bleck has 44. Sylvie has 39.
Here comes Bleck. Here comes Bleck.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you don't get anything for seconds.
You know what Bleck is? He's the Bears. What a great stretch run, Chris. Didn't matter that you lost six in a row.
What'll happen is,
but you, my friend, you have shown grit and determination.
Chris will pass me this week, and then Waddle will forget to make picks over championship weekend, and then Chris will overtake the lead.
How dare you call me the Bears? Unbelievable.
All right, Waddle, you're up.
I don't like any of these. Right. It's a tough week, obviously. I'm going to take the Bucs. I like the Bucs getting three. I know that the Saints, as I said earlier, boat raced them in each of the last two games, but I think the Bucs are playing better, and I just don't – man, I saw that Saints offense. I'm not buying it. I'll take the Bucs plus three. I like the Bucs.
All right. So the first time the Bucs and the Saints met, it was 34-23,
mm-hmm.
over. Then the second time they met, it was 38-3 because the Bucs couldn't score. These
under.
Are two top 10 defenses. I think I'm going to go with the under. I know Doug Kazarian said to take the over in this game. I'm going to go with the under in this game. It's 51.5 right now. I'm going to go under 51.5.
All right, Black, you're red hot. What do you got?
Okay, so the strategy here is, Sylvie, I'm ahead of you by 5. I'm behind Abdallah by 4. So if I just want to stay out of the basement, I could mimic Sylvie's picks, but now I'm going ahead of Sylvie.
Right,
so that strategy is out the window. So now the only thing
I can
do... Who
are you coming after? You coming after me?
...is chase the champ, and I'm coming for you,
Come
Waddle.
Bring him.
All right, I'm going to give you guys Rams plus the 6.5. I think the defense will keep it close against the Packers. I think everything laid out would tell me that the Packers should win by a lot this weekend. So I'm going to do a little double cross on myself, fade myself. I'm taking the Rams plus the points plus the 6.5.
I'm doing the exact same thing, Black. I really like the Packers. My strategy has not worked. I would automatically go Packers minus 6.5 on their home field with the bye, with a red-hot MVP at quarterback. So I am going to end up picking the Rams here. I'm going Oppo Sylvie.
Fade yourself. Love it.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to fade you both for my love. I'm going to take the Packers. It seems the most logical, so I'm not going to play the it seems most logical, so I'm going to fade myself pick because
you're in
that
first
seems
place.
Silly.
You shouldn't do
well,
that.
Well, no, but you should make a pick based on how you feel the game is going to go.
Not when you have a success rate like me.
Well, who do you know better, the team or yourself?
Neither. I don't know who I am anymore.
I know myself better.
What are you talking about? So I'm going to love the Packers winning this game by a touchdown. Jared Goff's dealing with a thumb, obviously. I don't know how healthy Aaron Donald will be. That defense is fast as all get out, but they're not playing on a fast surface. So I love the Packers.
I need to amend my like. It was 51.5 on the DraftKings. It is 52. So since we use DraftKings, I'm going to use 52.
You are a stand-up guy.
I'm going to use 52 on DraftKings. Well, it only helps me, so you can say that if you want to. I did the refresh because I was hoping this line would go back up to 50. But I love the Bills-Ravens under 49.5. I think there's these are two good defenses. I think the Ravens are going to control the clock with the run because the Bills can't stop the run. So I think you're going to see a lot of ground control by the Ravens. There is snow in the forecast. So
snow,
I'm gonna go
a little bit of snow. I don't
under 49.5.
I don't think Lamar's ever played in that type
of heavy snow.
Yeah, heavy snow.
I mean, he's played in Baltimore, so it's got to have snowed.
No, you're right, but I mean, like
a little bit. Maybe
I don't think a lot of people have played in the weather that Buffalo plays in quite frequently.
Chris?
Interesting pick there, Abdallah. I think that will be the closest game of the weekend, by the way. The Ravens also have they're sixth in passing yards on defense, so this high-flying Bills offense, can the Ravens keep it close? But I'm not going to go with that game because I'm playing strategy here. Waddle went Tampa Bay. I'm going love with the Saints minus the 3. But here's why. I've got a stat to back this up. I think there's going to be points being scored by both offenses, but Tampa Bay's defense against the pass is 21st in the NFL. The Saints is 5th. I think the Saints defense shuts down the Bucs and Tom minus the 3 Saints love. Take that, Tom.
I have no chance of catching you, Black. I absolutely love. This is my play of the weekend. I love the Buccaneers. Them getting points. I think they're the better team. I saw the Saints. They did not wow me last week. I think the offensive weapons are coming together against the Bucs. It's tough to it's tough to beat a team 3 times. So everything going into the Bucs in my mind, I am picking the Saints minus 3.
Swing. You know what? I don't know what to do here.
You don't know what to taste?
No, I don't know what to taste. I'm gonna
get a little lick of the Bills. Get a little lick of the Bills.
No, you get a little lick of the Bills.
Taste the Bills.
I will take a taste of the under in the Bills Ravens game.
All right, so you're gonna. Yeah. Go.
Wasn't the lotion in the basket guy Buffalo Bill?
Yeah, he was.
Yes, there you go. Get a little yes. I will be the first person to touch this game. I hope for a shootout. I hope this game is as wild as every matchup between Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes is. I'm gonna get a taste of the Browns Chiefs over 57.
Wow,
let's see some points. Let's see some points.
That's a lot of points.
Let's see it.
All right, I'm with you, Abdallah. I'm on that game, too. I'm not going to take the points, though. I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs that everyone has forgotten about because they didn't play last week. A lot of maybe the Browns 10? Are for real. They can 10? Stay on it. They're going to cover that.
10?
Minus the 10, they win by 14. Chiefs.
Wow.
On to the next round.
Give me a little taste solid of the play, Ravens Chris. Because I absolutely love the Bills this weekend. I think they got their footing last week in that close game. So I like the Bills so much. Give me a taste of the Ravens.
That's embarrassing that's what you've decided to do.
Well, why not? What? Nothing else has worked. No matter how much I look at these games, I can't win picking games.
Trust yourself.
Trust yourself. I've trusted myself for years, and I'm not good at this. I know what I'm good at. I'm not good at this. I'm going to go Oppo here.
Put the lotion in the basket while you're there.
I'll tell you what. Yesterday or Wednesday was the day that I was on the phone the most in weeks. And I got one weird phone call that I want to share with the listeners and you guys coming up next. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by my guys, Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert. Now's the time to refinance. Now's the time to get a new loan. Check them out today. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
On Wednesday, it was the most I've talked on the phone in weeks.
And we all know you don't like to talk on the phone.
I don't love to talk. I'm a big texter. I enjoy texting. I like the text chains. Texting is good because that way, you don't have to interact with anybody, really. Right. You got the kids. You react on your own. And if the phone's in front of you, you can do it instantaneously if you like. Mm. If not, you can get back to somebody in 20 minutes, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. The phone, you could be in the middle of eating. You could be in the middle of showering, sure. Whatever.
Yeah. Even when you are completely unattached to something, you're still a turd. You still don't answer your
phone. I've been better. I have picked up more calls lately. Right. I have been better. But what it did was the Bears brought me closer to people. I was talking to people more over the Bears than anything.
Really?
We couldn't put people in this business I was talking to who I have not talked to on the phone often because I don't talk to anybody on the phone. Just because we're like, oh my gosh, could you believe it?
It's so interesting you say that because I've had some interaction with some folks that I inside the game that I normally don't talk to either, and.
Like it did.
You're right.
It spurred a lot of conversation. Wasn't enough. Yeah. Yes, a text wasn't enough. Like you had to pick up the phone and say, "Dude, can you believe what just happened? Can you believe what we just watched? What's going on? What are you hearing?" So then, of course, I got in the evening. We had the Notre Dame game on, so we were off early on that Wednesday, and that was another thing. I was itching to talk about it. And I had no outlet after our first hour of the show because we were off early.
Sit down with the wife and talk Bears football with Allie.
I did. We talked more football on Wednesday than we have in a long time.
Good.
I was explaining her all the background of the family and Phillips and everything like that. So then at around 4:35, Ice Cap is ringing the phone.
Oh, yeah.
And I was doing something, so I let it go to voicemail, and I called him back 5 minutes later, and then it went to voicemail from him, and I said, "Look, I just called you. I'm around. If I don't answer, it's because I'm eating dinner with the kids." He goes, "Give me 5 minutes." Calls me back in 5 minutes. I go, "Hey," and this is the way the phone call starts. I kid you not. "I want to ask you a question. I was thinking, That was the worst press conference that I have seen in Chicago sports since the Dave McGinnis fiasco. Would you agree with me? I go, Cap, I go, I tweeted that out earlier today. He goes, you did? And I go, Cap, not only did I tweet that out earlier today, you liked it on Twitter. It says David Kaplan liked your tweet. He goes, I didn't see it. I go, Cap, it's right here, the Cap Man. You liked, I tweeted this. Here it is, 11 o'clock. He goes, let me look. Okay. Oh, yeah, you tweeted it. Oh, you're right. I liked it. It was total bizarro world. It was total, I don't know what happened.
That's what the Bears do to you. They actually make you like have out-of-body experiences.
It was the Twilight Zone. It was, I'm like, he's kidding with me, right? He's playing with me. Anyway, he goes, let me ask you a question. And he paused. Verbatim what I tweeted. Verbatim. He goes, and then he followed up with, would you agree with that? I want to ask you. I want to get your opinion on this. I go, I agree with it because I tweeted it and you liked it. So it was quite fun.
Yeah, that is. I'm telling you, they make you crazy. This team will make you crazy.
Make you crazy.
What did you blame the team for that? That's just Cap.
At least someone said it. At least it was Abdallah. I'm telling you, it was the. For a second, I'm like, what's going on?
You cannibalize a teammate, you know? Maybe
no, I cannibalize.
Not. I'm not. Senior
cannibalize or plagiarize.
I'm just saying that I listen to Cap and Jay Hood, and this is a daily thing with Cap and his phone and going through and liking things and forgetting stuff that Danny says to him right before he goes on the air. This is, he knows, he'll admit it. He knows this. He's got a lot going on, man. Got a lot going on. You know,
what's he got going on?
You know, he's a mover and a shaker. You know, he's got more than one job.
He doesn't do that television show anymore.
He's on NBC. He's got other NBC sports duties.
Ted's going to retire.
Come on. CrossFit. He's got to talk to all those sources.
CrossFit. You know who's doing CrossFit?
You know how many workout classes that dude's got to go to?
What is CrossFit, by the way?
CrossFit? I want to get you on CrossFit. You
could kiss my ass. I'm not doing CrossFit. I'm trying to rehab his shoulder. I can't get my hand over my head. Come on,
why would you do CrossFit? It may help you.
What am I going to move giant truck tires around? Stick
yeah, bro,
it. I'm not
on.
Doing that.
Come on, bro. CrossFit, bro.
No.
Come
when
on.
The pandemic
Let's
ends.
Do that rope. What's that thing where they shake
the rope?
Ropes?
What did you just say?
The rope shake. The rope shake.
Although
I said
you
shake.
Were
No, what is that thing where you shake the ropes? You got two
ropes.
Right,
right.
Two arms.
It's called
the
yeah,
rope shake.
That looks like something I would never want to do.
Well, why do you want me to do it?
Because I'm asking you to do CrossFit. We're not asking me to
do CrossFit.
How about this, Waddle? When the pandemic ends, well, let's join a UFC gym.
No!
We'll get Ray Flores to hook you guys up.
Why don't we join a wine company or something, like a weekly wine company?
No, I mean, do two things. Do wine of the month and do CrossFit of the month.
No, I'm not doing that. I can barely get my left arm over my head.
This will help you.
And you want me to take giant truck tires and roll them up the street.
It'll help you to build strength.
All I want to do is be able to play golf at some point.
This will help shoulders with those through the rope swing thing.
No.
Look at this. That's all shoulder.
Yeah. I'm not. No. Nope.
What do you guys have coming up here next?
CrossFit.
We're not doing CrossFit.
We are. We're going to convince. Waddle's going to stay till 7, and we're going to convince him to do CrossFit. No, we're going to get you set for the NFL. It's a football Friday.
Nice.
And then we got odds couple at 7, correct?
We do, and it's all brought to you by IDOT. Visit lifeordeathillinois.com.
Thanks to Liam Hendricks, the new closer of the White Sox.
Hey,
he wouldn't say closer, though.
Yes, and we can see you tonight. When again?
So I'm going to be on here on the Bulls pregame show at 6:30 on NBC Sports Chicago Plus.
Are you going to be kicking Gar in the nuts again? Or no,
it's like a package. It's like a package, a 3 or 4 minute package my journey. And then I'm talking Bears on GN Sports at 10:30 tonight. And then I'm on with Braggs on his live thing. He's got the live. Is it
You'll
like a radio show?
You'll be drunk for that.
I will be slurring during that problem. I'm opening wine right now.
Attaboy.
Thank you also to Doug Kazarian and JD. Bleck and Abdallah coming up in 2 minutes. Thanks to them. And for Waddle, I'm Sylvie. CSPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend.